The man who led energy giant BP through the Deepwater Horizon disaster is stepping down after nearly a decade in charge. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. Bob Dudley has been at BP for a very long time, four decades to be exact, but he's best remembered for steering the company through the 2010 Gulf of Mexico disaster, which killed 11 oil rig workers and led to the largest oil spill in US history. He then helped BP avoid bankruptcy and then navigated it through the 2014 crash in oil prices. So as Mr. Dudley retires in time for his 65th birthday, I asked the BBC's Jill Trinor for details about his successor.
His name is Bernard Looney and he joined BP in 1991, straight from college. He's an Irish man and he has a degree in electrical engineering. But he spent his entire career at BP. He has worked in a whole load of operational roles, like kind of getting hands dirty. He was a drilling engineer when he started out. But he's also done some office jobs. So he used to run the office of the former BP boss, Lord Brown, who's one of the most famous businessmen in Britain.
So a company insider?
Oh, definitely. It's not a name that I think is instantly recognisable, but analysts seem to know who he is. And he's one of a number of people inside BP who were considered for the job, but external candidates were also considered.
Bob Dudley, in his 10 years as chief executive, had to oversee quite a few difficult moments in the company history. Mm-hmm. So where's BP now and what challenges face Looney as he takes over?
You're right to say that when Bob Dudley arrived, BP was on its knees, not just financially, but its reputation was absolutely damaged by these horrendous accidents in the Gulf of Mexico. And it cost BP $60 billion pretty much all in to solve it. His successor arrives at just a moment when, again, there are reputational issues to consider. If you think that just this week, the Royal Shakespeare Company has said it will end its relationship with the company because of concerns by environmental campaigners that BP isn't moving fast enough into renewable energy.
Are they not?
Well, all of these companies are trying to make inroads into new ways of getting energy. And if you think about it, it was about the year 2000 when Lord Brown was in charge that BP started talking about changing its name to Beyond Petroleum. So it's not a new thing, but clearly it's something that the public are yet to entirely embrace.
Very interesting. The BBC's Jill Trinor. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross and global business leaders are in Delhi for the World Economic Forum. There are hopes that the U.S. and India can make progress in resolving their trade dispute on the sidelines of the meetings. The BBC's Surendrana Tiwari has more from the Indian capital.
India is growing at its slowest pace in 6 years. People are buying less of many things, fewer cars, fewer biscuits, even less underwear. So that's a real cause for concern amongst many business leaders, especially the auto sector, because that's usually seen as a barometer for the health of the economy here in India. And with some of the leading car makers seeing drops in their sales of more than 50% month to month, it's really worrying signs of a larger economic slowdown.
Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi was recently in the US and there were high hopes that he would strike a trade deal while there, but that didn't happen. So what are the prospects now with Wilbur Ross in town?
That's right. The US Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, he's in town. He's holding meetings with his Indian counterpart, Piyush Goyal. They shared a stage yesterday on Thursday at the World Economic Forum in which they exchanged pleasantries, but also some veiled barbs, with Wilbur Ross calling India the most protectionist country in the world, or if not that, one of the most protectionist countries. In return, Piyush Goyal said the US and India are in talks. They're discussing a trade deal that might be quite limited. It might only be surrounding certain products such as pharmaceuticals and dairy. Dairy, of course, is a long-running demand of many American businesses. They want to export dairy products from America into India. And this all goes back to earlier in the year when the United States removed India from a preferential system of trade that allowed Indian products going into America to be tax-free, duty-free. In return, New Delhi imposed tariffs on a number of US products, including walnuts and apples that come into India. And the two sides have been in talks since July. And even when Prime Minister Narendra Modi went to the US, we heard that a trade deal was imminent. It didn't happen then. There's high hopes that it could happen during Wilbur Ross's visit to India, but we've not heard anything just yet.
The BBC's Surendrana Tiwari, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Indian stocks fell and the rupee weakened after the country's central bank cut borrowing costs by 25 basis points. This is the fifth straight time the Reserve Bank of India has cut its key interest rate to try and stimulate growth. Over in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng Index fell by 1.5% after the city's chief executive invoked emergency powers that will ban pro-democracy protesters from wearing face masks. Let's turn now to Australia, where over 10,000 kangaroos face being shot and turned into pet food. Authorities in the southeastern state of Victoria approved the scheme to better manage the marsupials. Australia's total roo population is estimated to have jumped to around 50 million. That's double what it was in 2010. The BBC's Phil Mercer has more from Sydney.
Drought in Australia is driving kangaroos into conflict with farmers. In search of water and food, the marsupials have increasingly raided supplies for livestock. Under a new scheme in the state of Victoria, 14,000 animals can be shot over the next 3 months for pet food. Only accredited hunters can take part. Many farmers, though, complain that the kangaroos they kill will simply be left on the land to rot and help to feed foxes and wild dogs. These invasive species have caused untold carnage to both native and farming animals. The Victorian state government, however, believes the scheme will protect farms from rampaging mobs of hungry and thirsty marsupials. But animal welfare campaigners argue there are no guarantees. The kangaroos will be killed humanely.
That's Phil Mercer in Sydney. And finally, a painting that shows the UK Parliament overrun with chimpanzees has sold at auction for just over $12 million. It's by the renowned British artist Banksy, and the sale price was 9 times its previous record. In London, I'm Leisha Santarelli with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.